Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. And we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Today we're going to be talking NFL draft. We're going to be breaking down the quarterback position and running back position for your upcoming Dynasty rookie drafts. Tags, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Now, obviously, we're in April, and that's massive because that means the NFL draft is under a month away, and it's pretty exciting. It's an exciting time for us that, you know, kind of follow these prospects and go through the process and trying to figure out the pieces to the puzzle, because there's, as you know, there's just so many factors that go into these draft picks and, you know, what teams want and all these pro days and visits and keeping track of it, all of it. Just, it drives me nuts.
I just love the reveal, like finding out where these players are going to go and figuring out where they're going to fit. We've been preparing for this for so long, just like Christmas Day when it finally happens. And best of all, we're going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun hanging out with you, eating some good food, and seeing how this all plays out in person.
It is going to be fun. And I know that we're going to be doing some like Instagram live stuff and like sharing some things. So if you guys haven't yet, make sure to follow Fantasy Pros on Instagram, because we're going to be doing some live videos, some reaction things from the draft, just to and it's not going to be like in a professional capacity, just kind of like us just hanging out and talking about some football.
Tex, we've got some news today. We've also got some listener mailbag questions to get to. But first, I've got this dilemma in my life and it's really important. I need you to help me figure out what to do here. So I'm in the middle of a move. And I discovered some old beef jerky that expired a month ago. Do you eat it, or at like what point do you have to throw it away?
Beef jerky. I'm not a big beef jerky guy. I mean, if someone has some, I'll eat it. Like I like it. I just don't ever buy it because I just feel like it's somewhat pricey for what you get, because I never get full off of it.
Like, am I going to die if I eat it? That's the question here.
I don't think so. I think the things that are off limits are like liquids, you know, like if milk is past its due date, like don't eat it. But if you like come across like, I don't know, some snack bar or something like that, and if it's like a month expired, I don't even check the dates in those things. So if it tastes bad, throw it away. If it doesn't, keep eating it.
I'm going for it, man. All right. Today's show is sponsored by PristineAuction.com. We've got a giveaway from Pristine Auction. It's a signed Davante Adams helmet, full size, that we're going to be giving away to one lucky listener. All you have to do to enter for this bad boy takes about 30 seconds. You go to fantasybros.com/contest to sign up. And Tags, I figured that today, you know, whenever we've been doing these shows, I keep saying, hey, man, you missed this great value. I'm going to tell you about a really good value before the bidding ends, so that maybe you can win this thing. Do you already have a Chargers helmet for your collection?
I don't have a Chargers helmet. No, I thought about LaDainian Tomlinson. I actually bid on him a few times, but I lost.
Yeah, Philip Rivers has been their guy for a long time, and everybody loves Philip Rivers, right? He's just fiery. He's a lot of fun.
He's got like 9 kids.
Yeah, he's got 9 kids, maybe more on the way. Who knows? There are 4 Philip Rivers full-size Chargers helmets right now for $50. Now, that's going to go up a little bit, but you might, because there's so many at the same time, you might be able to get one of these for a really good value.
I'm going to make sure to go and look at this as soon as I get done with the show.
There you go. And if you do get one of those, I also have been buying display cases for my collection. Just taking a break from adding to the collection because I've got so many things. And you can actually, I found this little trick in Pristine Auction, right? So there's all these values to get on signed helmets, signed jerseys, and everything like that. But I found that you can get really good deals on the display cases as well, because you can go buy one of these display cases for $89 or something like that. I saw the same one that was listed for $89 winning bid the other night, $42. I'm telling you, if you see these things for bid, you can get some crazy values.
I apparently haven't need to hit this harder in the off season because I've already gotten a couple things from Pristine Auction.
Not trying hard enough, man. You got to have it open every day.
Apparently, like I actually just pulled it up while you were talking, and I do see these Philip Rivers helmets. Now I have to decide whether they have white and blue.
Yeah, you've got some hard decisions ahead of you, man.
For sure.
So everything on Pristine Auction, guys, is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. And there are so many things, you're definitely going to find something you can add to your cave, no matter who your team is. Again, it's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. All right, Tags, before we dive into running backs and then quarterbacks, we do have a little bit of news to talk about. Jordan Howard, your guy from the Bears, he's not really your guy, but he was on your team, traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is actually a pretty good landing spot for him.
I think it's odd. This trade strikes me as odd. And, you know, like, I knew that Jordan Howard was going to be gone. Like, when they signed Mike Davis, it kind of, the writing was on the wall. I know that a lot of people are expecting them to draft a running back, but that's totally besides the point right now. Jordan Howard was going to be gone. You don't sign Mike Davis to take that same role from Jordan Howard. So, you know, the landing spot for him, it was, you were looking for a place that he could go, ideally, that they run somewhat of an old school offense. The problem is that he's like kind of like taking a lateral movement and moving from, you know, Matt Nagy's offense to Doug Peterson's, which are both products of Andy Reid. Both run a lot of shotgun. I don't really like the fit. I mean, I think Josh Adams was fine.
To me, it's more about opportunity. Like, he's probably the number one or two on the depth chart right now. A lot of other places, you would just think, oh, he's definitely the backup.
They didn't trade much for him. You know, it's like, it's basically going to turn into either a fifth or sixth round pick, depending on performance. But his contract is $2 million. It's nothing. He's still on his last year of his rookie year contract. And, I mean, Doug Peterson doesn't play running backs in workhorse roles, so I view this as him basically walking into a similar situation that he just left. Now, the offensive line is still good in Philadelphia. It was good in Chicago. They're going to add another running back there. Like, I don't envision them walking into the 2019 season with Jordan Howard, Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement, and Josh Adams. I still think that they're going to add a pass-catching back. I think you could find those guys later in the draft. He's not going to be on the field very much. I mean, we've talked about it with Jay Ajayi before and saying that I didn't want to draft him as an RB2 because I just felt like it was going to be very hit or miss with him, where it's like touchdown or bust.
When do you play him? Like, even when you've got a good matchup, it's just a matter of, are they going to be in the red zone? Are they going to have the ball in the red zone? Because he's not getting 15, 20 touches.
Exactly. I mean, you need a game script that's going to like just basically pound the rock and kill the clock. It's not to say that the Eagles can't win games, but I don't know if they're in a position to run out clock on games like that. They don't have a dominant defense or anything like that. So, I mean, look at what Josh Adams did last year. You know, he was running pretty well for a while. He caught a few passes here and there. Jordan Howard doesn't catch passes. He's a fine downhill runner, but he is what he is. And I think he's overrated by many. And if you're in the dynasty community, like, and this is coming from a Bears fan, so most people would be like, oh, you're just saying that because he left. I was saying that Jordan Howard didn't fit this offense all season, if you guys weren't here. So trading him made sense.
Yeah. Is he a top 40 running back in the NFL? Because I don't think so, man.
It depends. I hate to say that he's not, because I believe he's good at what he does. But he just doesn't work for today's NFL. Like, your offense becomes too predictable when he's on the field. So, I mean, for me, Jordan Howard, if you own him in Dynasty and you're like, oh, thank God, you know, it he survived this and his stock is fine, I'm still looking to sell high. Look for someone that's like saying, oh, he's going to walk into the workhorse role with Philadelphia, sell high.
Yep, I 100% agree with that. And the other guy in the news here is CJ Anderson, same kind of player. And I'm wondering, would you rather have CJ Anderson or Jordan Howard if you're an NFL team? And what about fantasy now that CJ Anderson is with the Lions and has his chance at some touches?
Whew, that's a good question. I think CJ Anderson was better, but I mean, I know a lot of people loved him with the Rams, but he was out of shape. Like, he needs to lose some weight. He really does. He's not going to.
Yeah, he was. And he was with the Rams and Sean McVay. Like, if you put him on that Lions offense last year, we're not talking about him at all because he's no good there.
100%. That's exactly where I'm at. So the CJ Anderson signing does nothing for me. If anything, it just takes a little bit away from Kerryon Johnson. And I knew that all along, though. Kerryon Johnson, for people that thought that Kerryon was going to walk into this workhorse role and there wasn't going to be any competition, listen to the man talk, like legitimately him himself, not the coach, not this is not coach speak. This is Kerryon Johnson himself said, I am not a workhorse running back. Like, I'm not a guy that you want to give the ball, you know, 20 plus times to. I work best in a timeshare. Those were his words. So, I mean, when he's saying that, you know, there's going to be some sort of competition. So I never valued Kerryon Johnson as an RB1 like some people did.
I cannot believe people are putting him in that discussion. That's just unbelievable to me. That means you've got him ahead of Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Chris Carson, Sony Michel. No chance he's above any of those guys for me.
A lot of people put him in that conversation. Now, if you go into PPR format, Sony Michel drops quite a bit because he's just not using the pass game with New England. I don't know if that changes with a lot of the wide receivers leaving, like Gronk leaving. The targets have to go somewhere, but you know, Kerryon is in that like middling to low end RB2 conversation. He's going to have some RB1 performances, and that's fine. I don't think CJ Anderson changes that much for me. But CJ Anderson in the end, I don't think he has much value.
I think if CJ Anderson cuts some weight, he's a better version of Jordan Howard. In fantasy, I think I'd rather have Jordan Howard right now, but really the answer is neither of them. I don't want any shares of either of them. I'd rather have a high upside guy like the backup running back in Kansas City whenever we find out who the starter is, or one of these rookie running backs, you know, wherever they end up, someone in a higher profile offense like the backup for the Rams. I don't think it's going to be John Kelly. I think they replace CJ Anderson with someone who's not just a pass catcher.
I think it's Malcolm Brown, actually. So they put a tender on him, and they basically could have matched an offer. And I think it was the Lions, actually, now that we're talking about them. I think it was them who tried to sign him, and the Rams matched the offer. So Malcolm Brown is coming back to the Rams, which tells me that he's the backup. Like, John Kelly, I think that they – I don't want to say that they're writing him off as a disappointment, but it kind of feels like that right now.
So that's what I'm saying. I'd rather wait six or seven rounds and get Malcolm Brown than Jordan Howard, who I'm never going to play regardless.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, while we're talking about Kerryon Johnson a little bit, let's transfer over to the listener mailbag. And if you want to send us questions, it's mailbag@fantasypros.com. And this first one comes to us from John M. And he wants to know, in PPR, Kerryon Johnson or Leonard Fournette?
This one's Fournette for me, and it's not really all that close. I have no idea why people are giving up on Leonard Fournette already. Like,
I just assumed this was Kerryon hype because I can't imagine giving up on Leonard Fournette. If he's healthy, he's a top, what, six or seven running back?
I've been asked a lot why Leonard Fournette is valued so high in the Dynasty trade value chart. People are giving up on Fournette. Like, he's ranked outside the top 12 running backs for a lot of people, and I don't know why, because I believe that when he's healthy, legitimately, he's one of like five or six running backs that you can lock in for 20 touches a game. And the fact that they have not re-signed TJ Yeldon or Corey Grant, and then they grab Alfred Blue, I mean, there's no competition there for Leonard Fournette. Now, I don't like Nick Foles. I don't think he does very much for an offense, but teams will have to respect him a little bit more than they respected Blake Bortles. So, it should open things up. But, you know, when Leonard Fournette struggled towards the end of last year, I think people are not realizing that the Jags were down four starting offensive linemen at season's end. So, including their top two offensive linemen. So I'm not going to put too much into that. I do believe they still have a rock solid defense. They may not be the elite defense that they were, you know, 2 years ago, but I still think they're very, very competent. I believe they're a team that wants to run the ball, and I think Fournette is being severely undervalued. I'll take him as my RB1. Like, if I can get two receivers on my team and then draft Fournette in the third, I am psyched.
Man, I'd be pretty pumped about that, because then you've got two really good receivers where you could get Travis Kelce in the second, something along those lines. But yeah, if I was guaranteed 16 starts from every running back, I'd pencil in Leonard Fournette at number 7 behind Melvin Gordon, Alvin Kamara, and right ahead of James Conner, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson.
Yep. That's where I'm at. You and I are in the same spot when it comes to this. Like, it blows my mind how much Leonard Fournette has kind of dropped down some draft boards.
I mean, he gets injured a lot, but it's not that he's bad and injury prone. He's just injury prone, and his offensive line was injured last year. This year I've got him at number 10 or 11. I keep flipping him with Dalvin Cook there at 10 and 11. Joe Mixon's right behind them. That's the range I've got them in. Meanwhile, Kerryon Johnson is behind Darius Geis, Marlon Mack, Nick Chubb, tons of other guys.
I mean, Fournette, looking at his career, guys, it's like, just go, I urge you just to sit down and go through his game logs and look at his touches. We talk about all the time how people saying that running backs don't matter and just chase the opportunity. Look at Leonard Fournette's game logs. That's all you have to do. Like, you don't have to look at the fantasy points. He's had fantasy points, believe me. But knowing that like he's locked into 20 touches a game, it's just, it says so much and it provides you a floor every single week. And if he starts breaking some of those longer runs, you're going to get a massive ceiling. Cause Leonard Fournette this past season, I actually came across this the other day. He didn't break a single run over 25 yards all season long. That's not going to happen again.
Wow. Do you remember that year when Todd Gurley was, behind the dreadful offensive line and he was just absolutely terrible? He still finished as a top 20 running back because he got so many touches. And obviously, we know Todd Gurley's not bad. What I'm trying to tell you guys is volume is king. Fournette's going to get the volume. Therefore, his floor is like RB20, and his ceiling is like RB3.
I don't know if I'm going to say RB3, because I feel like the offense is lacking as a whole, where I don't think it's going to produce enough points for him to finish as a number three running back. But again, you have stability. You have like a legit RB2 floor almost every single week. Like if you go to 2017, Leonard Fournette was an RB2. Going by boom bust and everything in between, like the stats that I used for that article, he was an RB2 or better 85% of the time. There were only four running backs in the NFL who were better. It was David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott. That's elite territory. Then you fast forward to last year. He was only there 50% of the time, but there were a lot of injuries. They gave him a few carries in one game, and then they pulled him. So it's going to affect those numbers a little bit more, but if you have an RB2 or better 75% of the time, which is kind of what I'm figuring for Leonard Fournette, he's kind of like a no-brainer, like when he falls to the third round, which is where his current ADP is.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette, 2017 fantasy points per game, running back number four. That was with Blake Bortles. Foles is a little bit of an upgrade, so you get one of those top-tier guys hurt, I could see Fournette slipping into the top three, and someone gets hurt every single season. So, all right, Dags, let's move on over to the next question here, and this one is from Open 24 Hours. So this is Dynasty Half PPR. What is Mike Davis's outlook now that Jordan Howard's gone? Are you buying him now or just waiting until the NFL draft and seeing what the Bears do?
Yeah, I don't think that you sign a guy for 2 years, $8 million or whatever it was that they paid him and have him sit on the bench as a running back. You know, we just saw Tevin Coleman, a guy who legitimately is in the prime of his career, hit free agency, and he netted 2 years, $10 million. That tells me that Mike Davis, the Bears have plans for Mike Davis. He makes a whole lot of sense for this offense too. So many people view him as that Jordan Howard type, where it's like he's going to come in, he's going to pound the ball, he's a downhill runner and this and that.
He's a good pass catcher, man. Really good.
He was actually the best pass catcher on the Seahawks last year, and it wasn't even all that close between him, Carson, and Rashad Penny. He was on the field for third downs more often than any of those guys. So Mike Davis walking into that Bears offense, the reason they snagged him is because he does have that ability, because your offense doesn't become predictable when he's on the field. Do I think he's going to catch a whole lot of passes and steal from Tariq Cohen? I don't. I think he has a role, but I think the idea overall is to give them options. Give them options in the passing game. Have a dump off option. Just because Jordan Howard was in the game, it's like last ditch effort. Like that's who we're going to throw the ball to. And it's like you never really want to do that. Mike Davis has flashed the ability to catch passes out of the backfield. Cordarrelle Patterson, coming in, he's obviously someone that can take some handoffs. He can catch the ball in the passing game. Like Matt Nagy, what he's trying to do is become unpredictable. And unfortunately, that's going to suck for fantasy a lot of weeks. But we do know that the Jordan Howard role that Mike Davis is walking into did produce top 20 numbers last year, and that's in a PPR format. He is going to be touchdown dependent, that's for sure. But if the Bears defense, continues to play the way that they did last year and, continue in that direction, Mike Davis should get a lot of goal line opportunities. So I have Mike Davis as like a low-end RB2, high-end RB3, provided they don't draft someone. Is it possible? Sure is. I don't think it makes sense as a franchise if they draft a running back after paying him 2 years, $8 million.
Right now, I've got him RB33, right in between Carlos Hyde and Kareem Hunt.
That's not a bad territory. I'd put him higher than that. I think a lot of people would actually agree with you because they're still worried about the Bears drafting a running back. But we have to remember, the Bears don't have a pick in the first two rounds, okay? Like, they signed HaHa Clinton Dix to a one-year deal. They lost Adrian Amos. They lost Bryce Callahan. So they're going to have to draft a safety.
They've got some holes, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have to draft a safety. They're going to have to draft a nickel cornerback. Well, I guess Buster Screen is now their guy, but I'm not really happy about that. Don't want to get into a bad mood during this lovely show. But no, I just don't think, with the Bears not having a pick till the third round, if they do draft a running back, I envision it's not going to be until like maybe the sixth round. And therefore, it's no guarantee that guy's going to make an impact anyways.
So you've got him ahead of guys like Mark Ingram, Jerick McKinnon, Lamar Miller, Tevin Coleman, Kenyon Drake, James White.
I would take him over someone like Jerick McKinnon, just because McKinnon, his role between him and Tevin Coleman is going to be very up in the air. That's going to be a nightmare. That's a team where I'm really curious to see what they do in the draft about the pass catchers. Losing Pierre Garçon.
All these guys are going to be overdrafted, and one of them's going to pay off, but maybe not. Maybe they'll all just three split touches all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't take him over Mark Ingram. That's like the territory where it's like, I think Ingram is that. I think right around Latavius Murray is where I feel like you should be drafting Mike Davis, but you don't have to.
I just keep moving Murray up my board, man. I'm going to be taking him in the first round before long.
Eventually, people will realize that he's going to get some work in New Orleans, and he's going to score some touchdowns.
Yeah, he's good, man. He's a good one. All right, next question here. This one's from Rich G. Do you think Dante Pettis is a solid wide receiver to the season? And is there any chance he could be a one with Jimmy G back, a stacked backfield, and Kittle being so dominant?
I think there's a chance he delivers wide receiver two numbers. I think that he's someone that's being undervalued in the fantasy community right now. But again, it's going back to the whole idea. What did the 49ers do in the draft? Do they replace Pierre Garçon? Do they wait until, you know...
Pettis is the replacement for Garçon.
Who's going to walk into the field? Because, like, are they really going to, like, rely on their future and say it's Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin, and Trent Taylor?
No, they can't. They got to go get somebody. I think it's in the second round. Obviously, in the first, they're not going to go get a wide receiver unless they trade back. But I think in the second round, there's going to be somebody there. We're going to be talking about that on next week's show with wide receivers and tight ends when we cover it. But there's a couple pretty good fits. I don't think that anyone right away is going to steal from Dante Pettis. They've been talking about him as maybe getting 80, 90 receptions, and I think that's possible in this Jimmy G offense. So PPR, yeah, I could see him scratching the top 15, but that's really a ceiling. I don't see him getting into that top 12. And right now I've got Dante Pettis as my number 31 wide receiver, so he's still not a wide receiver 2 for me.
I have him in wide receiver 3 territory, but the best part is you don't even have to draft him there. He's not being drafted there, but... I'm with you, Bobby. I don't think he could reach number one because like into wide receiver one territory.
Even in the best case scenario, I just don't see it happening.
Well, I just don't think he's like a high touchdown scorer. And a lot of times that's what it takes to get there. And he's in year two. It's going to be his first real year playing with Jimmy G because, you know, as you know, Dante Pettis didn't start the year in the starting lineup and Jimmy G only played, what, 3 games. So it's essentially their first year together. Kittle is the guy in the red zone. So Pettis, I could see wide receiver 2 numbers, but I don't think he's going to reach number 1.
So who do you have him in the territory with? Like Calvin Ridley, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd? Is that the range?
So Ridley and Mike Williams, no. I would not take Pettis over those guys. I think Ridley, the numbers that Ridley put up last year is something that you could see Pettis doing this year, maybe a little bit better. But Ridley's obviously going to grow in year 2.
That's what we're hoping for, right? And Ridley's going to get better.
Yeah, and with Dirk Cutter coming there as the offensive coordinator, I don't think the pass attempts are going to go down because he likes to throw the ball. Mike Williams, with Tyrell Williams gone, he has a chance to blow up. I think Mike Williams is the guy that if you're looking to draft a wide receiver outside the top 20 who has top 10 upside, Mike Williams is the guy.
Who has more upside, Julian Edelman or Mike Williams?
Williams, 100%. It's not even close.
Yeah, and I think most people would fight us on that, which is why we're going to get a good value on Mike Williams.
Yeah, Mike Williams, I have him as my wide receiver 25 right now. I have Pettis at 32. I would take Pettis over someone like Tyler Boyd. I don't know what the offense is going to do in Cincinnati. There's a lot of unknown there, but AJ Green coming back, John Ross, are they going to trade him? What are they going to do? I think there's just a lot of unknowns there where I know that Dante Pettis is going to be the guy, you know, the wide receiver in San Francisco who's getting the most targets. I think the conversation on Pettis comes down to, would you rather take a guy like Tyler Lockett, who he's probably not going to get as many targets as Pettis, but, you know, his targets are worth a little bit more. Will Fuller, I think that's a guy that belongs in that conversation. And I think,
oh, I've got Fuller like 10 spots lower than that, but, you know, that's because I'm a Kiki QT guy. I've got Pettis right next to Cooper Kupp. I think they're very similar, except Kupp has more touchdown upside and a little bit more risk because he's coming back from that injury.
I have Kupp up at 20. He just continues to perform in that Rams offense.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, I would take Cooper Kupp over Allen Robinson. I'd take him over Julian Edelman, Doug Baldwin.
You can have him, dude. I can't wait till we do another mock draft and I continue my big winning streak.
Cooper Kupp, I know, he's not a sexy pick. Neither is Robert Woods, but they get the job done.
I guess at this stage in science, ACL injuries just don't concern you. You know, it makes plenty of sense. They haven't really been impacting players that are coming back unless they're, you know, beyond 28 years old. And Kupp obviously is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a young dude. Well, he's not really that young. He's actually an older wide receiver for being, you know, new to the league. But Cooper Kupp, I don't have any concern about the ACL, and I imagine he'll be back by the start of the season. Obviously, as you know, the offseason goes on and we hear more and more about him, he might move down. My ranking on him is assuming that he's ready for week one. He's ready to go. They have no question marks.
All right, Tags. Last listener mailbag question, then we'll dive into running backs. This one's from James S. If you have first-round picks in Dynasty, and I love this question, everyone needs to hear this, should you be selling them for proven players? And what is your rookie draft strategy in general? Tags, I'm going to take this one first. It all depends on the year. And this year, I do not have any wide receivers graded as a first-round wide receiver. It's a deep class. There's plenty of guys to like. And at the running back position, I don't have anyone graded as a first or second-round running back. I just don't like this class at all from a skill position standpoint. And so I would be trading them for proven players this year. There's going to be two running backs who end up being very useful because they're going to fall into a great situation, and the situation is going to be what makes them useful. Kyler Murray in a two quarterback league, he's the number one overall guy. In a one quarterback league, you don't want to draft him. So first round picks just aren't that valuable this year. I would trade them for proven players. Typically though, I like to hang on to them because you can always get like a Michael Thomas at 1-6, right?
If you could find Michael Thomas.
Not always. There's a chance is what I'm saying. This year's draft class, you can't.
You're right, though. The year Michael Thomas came into the league, I want to say his ADP, I was looking at that. I think it was at 1-6 or 1-7. Definitely gettable. It happens. Players will fall there. But, man, I won't say that there's not first-round talent in this draft. I do believe that there is. I think that there's players with certain potential. And how do I value draft picks? That's an easy question for me to answer. And it's basically an article that's going to come up on the website on Friday. I've been working on, I do it every year. It says, what is a dynasty draft pick worth? And it takes all the emotion.
Love that article, man. I've got it bookmarked.
I do it every year. And what it does is it takes emotion out of it. You know, everybody will tell you, oh, this is an awesome draft class. No, this is an awesome draft class. I think everybody, the consensus this year, though, is that it's a pretty down year and that nobody is really a stone cold lock for production in the NFL, which is why Bobby might say that, you know, that there's not anyone, you know, worth a first round pick. But basically, it breaks down what is a dynasty draft pick actually worth. If you have a top three, a top six, a top nine, or, you know, if you're at the back end of the first round, I think that you have to understand like how your team's built. Are you built to compete right now? If you are, then you go for like, you look for running backs. You attack running backs in the first round because you're not going to be able to find a someone who doesn't need an injury after that. Most of the time you're going to need, like, those are guys that'll produce right away. If you're a team that's building for the future, don't be afraid to draft a wide receiver in the first round. Not only are they going to last longer, but they're going to take some time to develop. So if you're honest with yourself and you know, evaluating your team, that's what it really comes down to. If you can honestly properly evaluate your team, that should decide where you're going in Dynasty. And if you are competing and you're like, I'm competing, but I have running backs, I need wide receivers, that's when you start trading away your picks for proven veteran players like Larry Fitzgerald, like Julian Edelman, that can help contribute to a Dynasty championship this year.
Let me ask you this, Tag, because you've got the fourth overall pick and someone offers you Chris Carson for it. Do you take it?
Chris Carson for the number four? No, I wouldn't. No, I'd
take it in a heartbeat.
I'd take the 1-4.
Wouldn't even think twice.
Really? I mean, I have Carson as a 29 value on my chart, and I have the number six pick as a 36. That's typical, though. I mean, like I said, this draft class is a little bit lower.
So that's your typical draft class, and this year's draft class
is a little bit lower.
I think is a lot worse.
It is. I mean, but the thing is, there's going to be producers. It happens every single year. Like, there's guys like...
Yeah, and I'm also higher on Chris Carson than you, so that this kind of makes sense. But yeah,
you just have to understand this year...
I would rather have Chris Carson.
Yeah, just understand that this year there's going to be some volatility. Like, Bobby, we're going to talk about running backs here in a second, so I don't want to blow that, but basically just be honest in the evaluation of your team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really fair way to put it. Okay, man, let's get into the running backs here for the rookie draft class. And Tags, there's a lot of different people I've seen up at number one. Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, even Daryl Henderson, Damian Harris. Who do you have? Is it one of those guys or somebody else?
I have Josh Jacobs as my number one right now.
He's the consensus number one. Montgomery's number two. Those guys are pretty close for everyone.
Yeah, I've kind of flip-flopped between those guys, and it really just depends on the type of offense you run. I think David Montgomery is a much better runner, where it's like if you don't use your running back a lot in the passing game, like if you're a team like the Texans, I think David Montgomery is a better fit for your offense. I mean, like he'd be the guy that I would choose over Josh Jacobs if I ran that offense. But if you have an offense that relies on the running back being out there as a pass catcher, I think Josh Jacobs is the guy. And this goes back to Bobby. This is a question I was asked in another podcast, and it was such a good question. Is there anyone in this class, like if you were to pick one wide receiver and one running back, who would you say I'll mortgage my future to? Like, they're going to produce. They may not be the best player in this draft class, but they're going to produce, and I literally would bet my mortgage on it.
Can I answer nobody? Because, you know, I'm looking at these players, and obviously some of them are going to start. David Montgomery is going to get his chance. Josh Jacobs is going to get his chance. Damian Harris is going to get his chance. I don't have any of those three as my top running back. In fantasy, you know I like Benny Snell Jr. In terms of real-life running back, no, I think he's kind of like Jordan Howard, maybe a little bit better. I know you don't like him as much, but I think he'll produce in fantasy because he'll get that opportunity and kind of become that, you know, durable guy like a Frank Gore who's kind of boring. Everyone else in this class just has question marks. David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs. If I had to mortgage my future on somebody, it would be Miles Sanders. And I know that's going to surprise you. When I watch him play, I think he's the best pure running back in this class. But the problem is, I don't know if he's going to get a chance to play.
You know what I love about the draft process, Bobby, is that there's such a variety of opinions. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could have someone tell you that Miles Sanders is not going to get drafted. We actually had someone on the podcast earlier this offseason. I can't remember who it was that said it.
Find out who it was so I can wrestle him, please.
No, seriously. Like, I brought up Miles Sanders because I liked him. Like, when I first watched him on film, and what I do when I take my first glance at players, I don't look at anybody else's rankings or anything like that. I put him in the order that I thought, and that just happened to be at the beginning of the draft season, and we had him on, and I said, what about Miles Sanders? He's like, well, he's not a bad running back, but he's a guy that, you know, he might be drafted. He might go undrafted. And it kind of blew my mind because I felt like he had a good three down skill set. He was in the shadows of Saquon Barkley. I liked Miles Sanders and I had him as my number four running back. And then, like, after he said that, I was like, holy crap, am I overvaluing this guy? But, you know, that's the thing that goes into the draft. There's such varying opinions. And now that Miles Sanders has had the combine that he did, so many people are starting to come aboard that train. And I've kind of been there for a long time, so I definitely understand the love on Miles Sanders.
You know, here's what it comes down to, Tags. I think at this point he's going to go in the third or fourth round, but when I look at Miles Sanders and compare him to Saquon Barkley, I mean, Miles Sanders was the number one high school running back before he went to Penn State. And yeah, he was buried. Of course he was buried. He was behind Saquon Barkley. But Saquon Barkley went for 217 attempts, 1,271 yards as a junior. Miles Sanders, 220 attempts, 1,274 yards. The difference was touchdowns and the difference was receptions. But Miles Sanders is a really good runner and he's also a competent pass catcher. He's just not a generational talent like Saquon Barkley. I think Miles Sanders is the best pure running back in this class and I really hope he falls in the right spot.
In terms of pure running backs, that's got to be David Montgomery for me. Montgomery is...
He's really good. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's so good. Like, if we were going back, like, you know, 10 years in the NFL, David Montgomery would be in consideration for a top 15 pick. With the way the NFL offense is run, like, he's a guy that can handle a massive workload. He breaks a ton of tackles. Like, he just refuses to go down. I have questions about him as a pass catcher. That's why I go back and forth between him and Josh Jacobs. But Miles Sanders is a really solid all-around running back. Like, I don't have very many questions about Miles Sanders. I actually, in my comparison, in my profile that I wrote up on him, which, by the way, on the top 12 running backs, I wrote up a profile on every single one of them. If you've never watched these guys on film, the idea is for me to give you a picture and to understand the type of player that they are. And my comparison for Miles Sanders, my NFL comparison, is Doug Martin. I just think that they both offer that low center of gravity. They're both solid runners. They're not insanely fast. I think Miles Sanders is actually a better receiver than Doug Martin, which means he could obviously produce more there. And some people view that as a bad comparison. I'm like, wait,
Martin's been in RB1 several times, right?
He had two 1,400 yard seasons. That doesn't happen all the time in the NFL. And I just think that he, you know, like, landing spot. And I think that, Bobby, we should be clear about this. After the NFL draft, we're going to do some more shows on rookies in you know, how we'd rank them, because landing spot.
And I could hate Miles Sanders at that point.
Absolutely. Yes. If he lands in a spot where, you know, he's got no chance to produce right away, sometimes those guys could just fall in the depth chart and rot there. So, you know, we'll have a show afterwards, but this is basically pre-draft talking about what type of running backs we think they can be. And I think Miles Sanders is a guy that he can stay on the field for all three downs. So he might be one of the better fantasy options in this draft.
My comp for him was Spencer Ware, and same kind of thing. People are going to be like, Spencer Ware, he sucks. Do you guys remember how good Spencer Ware was before he got hurt with the concussion, and then Kareem Hunt took over because he got hurt again? Spencer Ware was really good, and it was because he was in the right offense. And like I said, I don't have any running backs graded as a first or second round talent this year, but Miles Sanders is my favorite of the bunch. In terms of fantasy, though, there's the difference between loving a football player and loving a fantasy asset. Benny Snell's probably my number six running back in terms of pure football, but in terms of fantasy, I like him because I think he's durable and he's going to find his way into touches. David Montgomery and Josh Jacobs are going to get, you know, plenty of opportunities. Same with Damian Harris, who I just don't like at all. But I've got David Montgomery as my number two fantasy running back because he's that combination of good and opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, and I think some people are higher than me on Montgomery as a pass catcher, and I am like, well, if he can catch passes, there's nothing not to like about him, and you should.
It's kind of like Rashad Penny. We haven't seen enough of it to know whether or not it's going to be a plus asset, but he's a good athlete. I think he's got good coordination. I think he'll figure it out. It might just be a work in progress.
For sure, and there's some people that literally just don't get the opportunity in college to highlight what they can do in the passing game. You know, it's not, you know, like people talked about Derrick Henry, like, oh, he can't catch passes. I mean, while that might be correct, it's just because, like, you go back to his college days and you see he wasn't really involved in the passing game. It doesn't necessarily mean that he can't catch passes. That's kind of how I felt about Devin Singletary, another running back in this class, is that I think he caught six passes the entire season. As I was watching the film, I'm like, why? You know, I didn't understand why Devin Singletary wasn't involved in the passing game. So you kind of have to watch the plays they were involved in the passing game and make a determination on that small sample size. And it's really, really tough to do. So that's why, you know, some of those guys will fall down the board and you can get steals just because people assume they can't catch passes because, well, he only caught six passes last year. But I urge people all the time. And if there's one thing that I could say that is overvalued in college scouting, it's production. Production will follow talent. And like in college, I'm not saying that it's totally, you know, doesn't matter. I'm saying that people overrate it.
There are so many things that go into it. You've got coaches, you've got schemes, you've got opponents, you've got surrounding talent, you've got opportunity, everything that goes into that. And so much of it ought to be ignored, yet you take it all into account and you just throw it against the wall. It's not how it works.
Yes, yes. And I see so many people talk about that. Well, this player didn't have a 1,000-yard season. I'm like, well, I mean, look who was around him. Look who his coach was. Look what the competition was. There is so much, and there's such a talent gap in college. And, you know, not just players. I'm talking about scheme. I'm talking about coaches. And that's why you continually see the same teams in the national championship, you know, because there's such a gap. In the NFL, there's so much parity, and there's not a big gap anymore. And it's like,
can you imagine if an NFL team had the first, second, and third round pick every year like Alabama does? You know what I mean? Like, there's a big old difference.
Yeah, it's like giving the Patriots, like, the first pick every draft.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
All right, man. So if you were building your dynasty rankings before the draft, not knowing the landing spot, you've got David Montgomery 1, Josh Jacobs 2. Who comes number 3 for you? Is it Damian Harris? Is it Daryl Henderson? Somebody else that we haven't talked about?
So that's another thing I've been going back and forth on. These guys are just so close. I believe that after Jacobs and Montgomery, there's a clear tier after those guys where I think it falls off. And I think the next tier for me is guys Daryl Henderson, Damian Harris, Rodney Anderson, and Miles Sanders. So Miles Sanders, we already talked about him. Don't need to talk about him anymore. Rodney Anderson, he would be talked about a lot higher if he wasn't hurt all the time. Like, legitimately, the guy's had like 3 season-ending injuries. He has serious problems. But when he's on the field, he's really freaking good. Like, he's a true 3-down running back. He's 6 foot, 224 pounds. He can catch passes like a wide receiver out of the backfield. He's a tough guy to tackle. I think Rodney Anderson's good, but he's not going to go to the later rounds because a team doesn't have to risk that on him. They understand that there's risk coming with him. But if there's a contender that needs a running back and it's like, we're going to bring him aboard because he doesn't cost very much and, you know, we're going to use him up. I think Rodney Anderson is phenomenal. In my choice, Bobby, when I was asked that question, who I think the safest running back is, I said Damian Harris. And I say that because he's a downhill runner that processes very fast. Like, there's guys that like Alex Barnes, you know, further in the draft, where they're considered like more of like a power running back. But Damian Harris is a true power running back. Like, he's a guy that you put the ball in his chest, you get him downhill, and he doesn't hesitate. Like, literally, if you make a little sliver of a hole, he's going to hit it. And he averaged more yards per carry than Josh Jacobs, despite being the starter, despite seeing, you know, more stacked boxes against him. His processing speed is very, very fast, but he's also...
You know who he reminds me of is Kenneth Dixon, and we haven't seen a ton of Kenneth Dixon, but there's a reason the Ravens were excited about him. It's because he's got plenty of talent.
Kenneth Dixon was really good. He was a tackle-breaking machine. Damian Harris, my comparison for him was Mark Ingram, and I know Ingram's another Alabama running back, but...
Yeah, I was also going to say Sean Green, and that's a little bit scary, and that's why I'm a little bit scared of Damian Harris. I don't think he's super safe because we've seen this show before.
Yeah, Sean Green is my Benny Snell comparison, actually. That's where I think that those two went.
That's funny, man. We've got Frank Gore and Sean Green being thrown around for Benny Snell here.
Yeah.
I understand the people who don't like Benny Snell, and I'm not saying that I like him because of him producing. I love his vision. I love his balance. I love the way he reads holes, and he just gets yards after contact, and he crushes people. He's big and he's strong, man. See, I like that. Now, I don't know if it's really a fit in today's NFL, but here's the thing. The team that's going to draft him knows what they're drafting and knows how they want to use him. There's five teams in the NFL who use players like this, and they tend to be fantasy producers.
Yeah, and I believe he can carry a workload. Like, his durability is one of the things that I think is really strong about Benny Snell, and I think he proved that. But he does have a lot of miles on him. His yards per carry, if I'm not mistaken, did go down every year while in college. So it's like, you know, I don't know if that started to wear on him.
Like, he's slow, but he is slippery.
Then that's the thing. Like, when you run for as many yards as he did, I think it was like 1,300 yards. Like, obviously, you've shown something. And I think there is something to his game. I think he's limited in the passing game a little bit more.
I know you're just trying to be nice and not make fun of me. I appreciate it.
I won't make fun of you.
Some people hate Benny Snell, man.
But that's the thing. I think that in rookie scouting, there's just so much that goes into it. And there's so many factors that are unknown that we may not have seen. Like, you know, Daryl Henderson was the other guy that I brought up in that tier. He's someone that it's like, I feel like the competition he was playing against wasn't like top notch. And I felt like, you know, he took advantage of that late in games. You saw massive holes open up and it's like, was this because of who he was playing? What offense does he go to? Is he going to fit in? Is he a guy that's going to see a lot of touches? Because I felt like he got stronger as the game went on.
I think he's a third down running back in the NFL.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, he's 5'8". I mean, he is 208 pounds, so he's bit more. He's kind of like built like a pit bull.
He kind of reminds me of DeAndre Washington.
That's like a good low end comparison for him, I think. Actually, I had a faster Duke Johnson for my comparison for him, but I think a good low end comparison, actually, DeAndre Washington's not terrible.
Yeah, see, I'm not a very, very big fan of Henderson or Damian Harris or really any of these guys in the class, but, you know, I think Henderson's going to be all right in PPR deeper leagues.
One player that I definitely want to talk about, and I feel like I don't know where to slot him in my rankings because I feel like I could make the case for him to go all the way up to number 3. I could make the case to put him out down at number 10, depending on where he lands because...
Hold on, let me guess who this is.
Yeah.
Alex Barnes.
No, I have Justice Hill.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So much speed, man. Ugh. He's a blazer.
He's fun to watch. I mean, like some people have used Reggie Bush, and I don't think that's a bad comp. I just think that he's somewhat in between Bush.
That's it. That's the type of player he is. I don't think he's Reggie Bush.
And Giovanni Bernard. Yeah. Like, I don't think that he's meant to necessarily carry a big workload. He obviously showed that he could do it while at Oklahoma State, but... Oh, man, if he gets into a role where it's like maybe like an Alvin Kamara-ish role, I'm not saying he's going to be Kamara because he's not, but I'm saying if he can get into a role like that, into an offense that knows, that understands how to pair him with another running back, I feel like he would be a hugely productive player, and I think that PPR leaguers would love him. Yeah, I think that Justice Hill, like, he's someone whose landing spot matters more than almost anyone because if you draft him, I feel like you better have a plan in place to get him on the field because he is a weapon.
What do you think of Alex Barnes? He was that combine warrior that really shot up everyone's list from Kansas State. And you go back and you watch the film and you're like, yeah, this is a pretty good running back. Do you think that he has what it takes to be a starter in the league if he gets the opportunity?
I do not. He's actually someone that I released his profile today. I was frustrated watching him. Like, there's some things that he does well when he gets into the open field, but my issue with him, he's 226 pounds. Like, use your body. And he does use his body to break tackles. Like, he knows how to lower his shoulder, but he almost walks behind the line of scrimmage where he's like, you know, some people are going to sit here and tell you that it's patience. No, it's not patience. He's just very indecisive. He's the anti.
He's Rashad Jennings. Do you remember him? There was plenty of reason to be excited about Rashad Jennings, and it never happened because he was Rashad Jennings.
Rashad Jennings was faster, I think. Rashad Jennings, I felt like he was a pretty good athlete. And that's the thing is Barnes had a really good combine. He popped off with his vertical, broad jump, and three cone drill. But when I watch him, it's just like his processing speed is like the anti Damian Harris. Like, Damian Harris is like, give me the ball, I'm getting downhill. Like, if there's not a hole, whatever, I'm gonna fall forward for a couple yards. Barnes, he is a monster in the open field. Like, he will run you over, he will use a stiff arm, but if you get him behind the line of scrimmage, he's gonna go down. Like,
he's more naturally a rugby player to me, man.
Kind of like my comparison to him was a Josh Adams, but I feel like Josh Adams hits the hole with a bit more urgency. So, and Josh Adams went undrafted last year, so I feel like Barnes is just a depth chart guy.
Yeah, I've got Barnes. I've got a 6th round grade on him, but a lot of people are excited, so I wanted to mention him. The other guys in this tier that people want to hear about, Bryce Love, Mike Weber, Devin Singletary you mentioned, and then we'll touch on, you know, one or two really late guys that you might be interested in.
Wait, before I give mine, I want to know your take on Bryce Love.
You know, I look at him and he's just so small, man. You know, I know that he's produced, but he's produced against college athletes. I feel like he's one of these guys when he gets to the NFL, He just won't be able to do as much, kind of like a Josh Ferguson, who ended up just being a third down back. Cameron Artis Payne, just kind of a depth chart filler. So I don't really see much in the way of upside for Bryce Love.
I am so torn on him. I've never been so frustrated like when watching a player between two seasons. And I say that because like he's the only player. So I've written up, I think, 15.
Yeah. I mean, this time last year, we were really excited about him, right? Next year's the Bryce Love class.
Yeah. I mean, I've written up 15 profiles now and like I don't get frustrated. But with him, I got frustrated because like we knew that he was like a Heisman. He finished second in Heisman voting to Baker Mayfield last year. So obviously he was a stud. And then, you know, he returned to school for his senior year. And I know that some people question that. I never have an issue with someone wanting to return to school. And like, he seems like he's a pretty smart kid and he wanted to finish out his schooling. And I don't blame him for that. Him having a bad season, there's some scouts out there that say that it was tied to his ankle injury that he suffered and he was trying to play through it all year. And it really affected his game. So he was one of the few players where I watched both sets. I watched all of his 2018 games I can get my hands on and all of the 2017. He looked like a different player. And so I do want to say that I'm not going to sit here and say that he's going to be an MVP type running back based on his 2017, but he was a guy that could play in the NFL 100%. And you watch him in 2018, you're like, this guy would just get swallowed up and he's not going to play. I gave him two grades. He's the only guy I separated in his elusiveness. And I said, I'm giving him two grades because I can't ignore what he did in 2017. And I feel like a great comparison. And I I'm giving these comparisons because I want you guys to know the type of player they are. And I said that it was going to draw controversy when I said it, but it's not my intent, but he reminds me of Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson, everybody remembers the 2K, the CJ 2K, but nobody remembers like the times that he would finish a game with like, 13 carries for 10 yards. That would happen with Chris Johnson. He was a really all or nothing running back. He had a turbo button that literally he'd break 80 yard run like seemingly every other week. And I think Bryce Love has that. I really do. I don't know if his knee, because apparently it was a torn ACL, I don't know if his ankle was bothering him. I don't know. There are so many questions about this kid, but I feel like if I'm a team.
So he's Joe Williams. That's what you're saying.
No. I was never a fan of Joe Williams, but
I know you weren't.
And it's not to say that I love Bryce Love, but I'm saying that I believe that there is some potential here.
You love him. Just admit it, man.
If you get him in the open field, he's going to break it. Like, he's gone. And the question is, can your team do that? And I think that if you're a team that's looking for someone to add to the depth chart that potentially could take over should the starter struggle, I think a team like the Bears makes sense because it seems like Bryce Love is going to fall into day three of the NFL draft. And if they were to do that, or if you're talking about the Chiefs, if the Chiefs were to say, we don't know if Damian Williams is going to hold up, we only have Carlos Hyde on a one-year deal, let's grab Bryce Love as like he's a low cost guy that maybe we hit the lottery and maybe he turns into that 2017 running back again. If it was 2018, I'd say don't draft him at all. But I feel like there's something there, and there was definitely something that happened to him in 2018. And I can't answer what it was, and I'm not going to speculate, but I think too many people are hating on him and they forget what he looked like in 2017.
You're right, man. You're right about that. And, I think a more fair comp would be Corey Grant, who has a little bit of upside. We've talked about him a fair amount. He was on the Jags and just had that breakaway speed, but maybe more upside than Corey Grant. Tags, the other guys that we didn't touch on, do you like either of Mike Weber or Devin Singletary?
Mike Weber, no. He's just kind of like a depth chart guy. I don't feel like he's going to be a starter anytime soon. But Devin Singletary, he was someone I actually liked more than I thought I would going back for a second look, because when I first watched him, I was like, I'm concerned about his size. The level of competition at Florida Atlantic wasn't really good. I still feel that to a certain extent. I mean, he's only 5'7", 203 pounds.
He's not even my favorite running back from Florida Atlantic this year. Have you seen Kareth White?
I haven't really watched him, no.
Dude, you gotta watch this kid. You gotta watch Kareth White. I think he's probably gonna go undrafted. He's gonna be this guy that's undrafted, and I'm not saying he's Phillip Lindsay or anything like that, but I think he's the best athlete of any of the running backs, better than Alex Barnes, better than Miles Sanders, better than all these guys. Watch Kareth White's tape. The guy is a beast. In his pro day, he went out and ran a 4.36 40, 21 bench presses, 11 foot broad jump, 42 inch vertical. The guy's a monster.
Sounds like an athlete, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's an athlete. And his tape looks all right, too. He's got some good instincts.
And Singletary got murdered at the combine. Like, athletically, he didn't test well at all. That's not what people expected. He's probably he might have more juke than anyone else in this class at the running back position. Like, he runs kind of like a LeSean McCoy. He has those moves to his game.
Can't do that if you don't have the athleticism of LeSean McCoy.
Correct. That's the thing. And that's why I compared Singletary to kind of like an Amir Abdullah. And it's, I think Abdullah, like, and you know, he's considered a bust. Like that's already like set in stone. Like now he's a backup and he's, you know, it is what he is.
So you're saying Singletary is going to make one flashy play in the preseason and be everyone's favorite for a little bit of time.
He could. He's the type of running back that's going to make people drool when he makes a run, like when he has a run like that. But if you put him on a team with a bad offensive line, he's going to be terrible. But if you give him a team with a good offensive line in place, like he will look better than Amir Abdullah did. But he's one that's like on the borderline where it's like, I feel like there might be something, but the fact that he's 5'7 and just barely 200 pounds is not ideal. I do think that he can catch passes a lot better than, you know, than he did at Florida Atlantic. I think them targeting him or him catching only six passes was more of like a product of the offense and not necessarily based on his pass catching ability.
So Tags, I mentioned my deep sleeper, Kareth White. And again, you need to watch his tape. Is there anybody else deeper that you like?
Some people are going to be mad that we didn't talk about Travion Williams.
Yeah, maybe Elijah Holyfield, Travion Williams, LJ Scott, one of these guys.
Holyfield, no, the combine buried him. Like he moves like a turtle. So he's just kind of fallen off. James Williams is interesting as a pass catching running back. I do like him. It's just, he has a certain role. He's not going to be someone that you're going to draft in fantasy unless he falls into the ideal situation. But Travion Williams is, a lot of people like him for whatever reason, and I don't really get it. I'm not saying that he's like a terrible running back, but I don't think he's anything that you need to reach for. Like some people have him as their number one running back in this class, and I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Like he's 5'8", 206, and like when you're just over 200 pounds, like Christian McCaffrey is like setting the table, is like saying, oh, if you're like around that size, you can definitely perform in the NFL, and I think he's proven that, but he's an elite pass catcher. Travion Williams can catch passes. It's not to say he can't, but he's not the receiver that...
Man, I think he's a special teams contributor. I've got him as my RB18 in this class.
Holy cow. I don't have him that low. I have him at number 7, so I definitely don't feel like he's... I don't think he's in even the tier with Miles Sanders. But some people, I'm not kidding, Bobby, some people have him as their number one running back. But I'm urging you, if you're holding your fantasy draft before the NFL draft... I don't think Travion Williams is going to be very highly valued in the NFL. Like
he's a fifth or sixth round pick, maybe.
I think that he's a guy that could he go in the fourth, maybe. But I view him as a day three guy, where it's just like a fifth through seventh round, where he's probably going to fall. And I don't think that a team is going to draft him with a workhorse role in mind. It's kind of like an Ito Smith. Like that's who actually he reminds me of.
Two other guys that I wanted to mention didn't exactly have time. Wes Hills, if you're in a much deeper league, Miles Gaskin, those are two guys to keep an eye on that I've got quite a bit ahead of some of these other guys we've mentioned. All right, Tags, and let's go quarterback here. Obviously, in fantasy leagues, Kyler Murray is the number one. In a two-quarterback league, would you take Kyler Murray number one in rookie drafts? Assuming he goes number one overall to the Cardinals, which may not happen now.
That seems like it's not going to happen anymore. I don't even know what's happening, man. I'm so mad about that, by the way. I'm tired of like being fed all this stuff, and it's just like basically just to...
Yeah, if he doesn't go number one, how far does he drop? I think the Jags would have taken him at 7 if they would have thought there was a chance.
I think a team would trade up for him, honestly, if he didn't go there. So, I mean, I do think that he's going to go in the top 10. Like, I see that happening for sure, but I think it's very possible he doesn't... I think the Raiders might take him at 4, actually, if he's there.
I think he's a better passer than Dwayne Haskins, and I know a lot of people love Dwayne Haskins. I think most years... Last year, Dwayne Haskins would not have been a first-round pick. He would have been the fifth quarterback off my board, maybe even sixth. I like Mason Rudolph better than Dwayne Haskins. But, you know, because this isn't a very good class, I think Dwayne Haskins is going to go in the top 10. Everyone's going to be excited. I don't think he's a franchise cornerstone piece.
So going back to your question about would Kyler Murray be the number one pick in a two-quarterback draft? Yeah, probably would, because he's going to be drafted high and he's going to get the opportunity. You don't draft him to not use him.
He's going to get so many fantasy points with his legs, and I think he's a competent passer as well.
Unless maybe someone like Josh Jacobs falls to the Raiders and like they draft him, maybe I'd consider him then because I think the opportunity is going to be massive. But Haskins is definitely he's my number one quarterback in terms of like overall like who would I like to have on my offense, because I think Kyler Murray is a little bit, he's more of a wild card. Like I think that there's upside there for sure, and I think you need a certain coordinator in place to do it, whereas Haskins is he's more of a developmental guy where he has all the tools, they're there. Like you don't have to teach him how to throw the ball. Like he can sling it. Like I see him throw 20-yard crossing routes like it's nothing on a rope, And like, but he has very minimal experience. It's kind of like Mitch Trubisky when he came out of school. I didn't think the Bears should have started him his first year, but John Fox was trying to save his career, his life, whatever. But Haskins is a guy that he's probably going to be forced into starting as well. But I would prefer a team to draft him, you know, and keep him on the bench for a year, let him sit back, go through practice, you know, go through the motions, get some more experience, you know, with the backups and, eventually take over. But, I think his arm, I mean, Kyler Murray, you're not going to say his arm's bad, but I just think that there's some limitations to Kyler Murray in terms of like what he does when...
You don't think he's Russell Wilson?
I don't. That's basically the comparison that a lot of people want to say, but I do not think he's Russell Wilson.
It's a big time reach. I mean, Russell Wilson, you've got to have that certain Michael Jordan kind of mindset to be Russell Wilson, right?
He keeps his eyes down the field all the time. Russell Wilson does not want to run. Like, let me be clear about that. Like, he's gained some weight, but even going back to the beginning of his career, Russell Wilson did not want to run. He's a pass first quarterback, and Kyler Murray is more like, if my first option's there, I'll throw it. And if he's not, I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to run. Are there times where he's improvised and it's like he can't find anything on the ground, so he scrambles and then he finds Marquise Brown wide open for, you know, a long touchdown? Yeah, that's going to happen too. But I don't think that Kyler Murray's a passer first. I think he's going to be more known for his rushing ability in the NFL.
All right, Tags, a lot of other people like Drew Locke, Daniel Jones, have him pegged as first-round picks. I mean, I think that Locke is definitely going to go there. Jones might as well. Do you have a first-round grade on either of these guys?
I think Drew Locke is probably worth it to some teams. Like, if you're the Broncos and you're looking for a future franchise quarterback, I think the Broncos would actually be a better fit for Haskins, just considering that they did trade for Flacco and they're going to use him this year. And that way Haskins is not forced into starting. But Drew Locke is somebody that's more of that traditional passer. He's not going to run the ball very much. He has a massive arm. He's another guy like, kind of like Jay Cutler-esque, where he's got a massive arm, but he relies on his arm too much. He throws off of his back foot. He doesn't step into his throws very much.
That's what I was going to say. I think he's Flacco, and I don't want Flacco leading my NFL team. I wouldn't touch Drew Locke, and I definitely wouldn't touch Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping to hit lightning in a bottle, right? Like Patrick Mahomes had some of that gunslinger mentality when he came out, and obviously he looks really good. So that's why when I say if there's a team that needs a quarterback, I wouldn't have an issue with them drafting Locke in the first round, but do I think that he's worthy of one? And like last year, would he have went in the first round? No, I wouldn't have given a first round. He's my number three quarterback. Daniel Jones has fallen out of that conversation for me. I think Will Greer, you could make the conversation that he may be better than Daniel Jones.
You know, Will Greer has some upside. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Chad Kelly, minus the legal issues and everything like that. But I think Will Greer is going to be one of these guys that you draft him in the third round and maybe you hit lightning in the bottle. Ryan Finley, I think, is a safe career backup quarterback. I don't really see much upside for him. I mean, you know me, Tags. Who's my number three quarterback in the big board?
Let me guess. It's Clayton Thorson.
Of course it's Clayton Thorson. I love Clayton Thorson. I've always loved Clayton Thorson. He's got that NFL body. He has the best intangibles of any quarterback in this draft class, and he had absolutely no supporting cast on the offensive line with the skill player positions. He was recovering from a torn ACL last year. Of course, we didn't see much from him. He's got a big old arm, and he's got the brains. I am putting my reputation on the line saying if Clayton Thorson can work his way into a starting depth chart, he's going to be starting quarterback in this league for 10 years. He's really, really good. I love his tape.
I know you like Thorson so much. I didn't walk away impressed with Thorson at all. Like, he falls in that conversation with other guys that like are just like Brett Rypien. I'm not a huge fan of him, and I know some people like him.
Yeah, I like Brett Rypien too. I think Brett Rypien has like upside. He's a Kirk Cousins type of quarterback who can really sling it, make some bad decisions, but if he gets under the right coach, I think he could be a starting quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's who I see him as.
I kind of view Ryan Finley as that guy. Ryan Finley has very limited arm strength. His footwork is really good. Like, he actually has some things about his game that looked very professional, but I don't think he has anything special talent-wise. I think Jared Stidham is someone that, from Auburn, he's someone that I like more than most. I have him right outside the top five. I have him as my number six quarterback. I mean, he's another guy I'd like to see step in a little bit more, but he shows good leadership ability. Like I just like the way he carries himself on the field. He has some arm strength. There are definitely some like wow throws, some like NFL throws I saw him make. And the same thing happened with Will Greer at times too. Will Greer is someone that I think he's going to go at the end of round two. I think that the Patriots at the end of the second round, they're a team to watch for Will Greer. He makes so much sense. He's a guy where he'll drop back, and if he throws in rhythm and if he has a receiver, you know, basically he goes through his progression, 1-2 progressions, and he finds his receiver. He could throw a dime. But when he's forced to scramble, that's when things really go bad because he makes some terrible decisions. He's not aware of where he's at on the field.
Sounds like ripping too.
He thinks he's faster than he is. He's not. Yeah, Daniel Jones, like he's like an Eli Manning reincarnated, where it's like
I don't think there's any chance, by the way, that Greer goes to the Patriots. He does not seem like a Belichick type of guy. I will bet you, okay, I'll take Clayton Thorson to the Patriots in the second or third round. You can take Will Greer, and we need to figure out what we're going to bet here, because I'm telling you, Clayton Thorson is going to be Tom Brady's replacement.
Nice. Well, I mean, I hope you're right, because that means you called it on this podcast. Outside of those guys, I mean, that's the thing, like, fantasy-wise, like, there's not too much to get excited about here, because I don't know if we really think that a lot of these guys are going to be longtime starters. Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray, Drew Locke probably, but outside of them, like, I think they're all question marks and guys that you could kind of let fall in your draft and you're going to be able to get them later on. But
I could see Stidham doing it. You mentioned him. You look at his tape and it's like, hey, this guy could be a first round pick. Hold on a second. Should this guy be drafted? Like, there's a lot of upside mixed in. He's got some NFL throws on his film, but you know, it really depends on his landing spot and what they do with him, because he's got the intangibles. I think he's going to work hard and we'll get to see the best of who he is. But yeah, besides that, there's not a ton to like deeper into drafts.
Who would you rather have on your dynasty team? Let's pretend that you're drafting right now. Who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray?
Oh, boy. Kyler Murray.
Really?
It's a good question. Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, I actually think Kyler Murray's a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson.
I think Lamar Jackson is not a starting quarterback in 4 years. I think Kyler Murray is for the next six.
And that's the thing. Well, the reason I was tempted to say Lamar Jackson is because the Ravens have kind of went all in on him. Like, we're trading away Flacco. We're moving in a different direction. And
give him 20 carries a game.
I know. It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like, what is he? And that's why people have them drafting a wide receiver in the first round. I don't see it, just because, like, you guys don't throw the ball. Like, why would you draft a wide receiver and waste that pick? Like, fix your defense.
All right, Tags. Deeper quarterback. Some people like Kyle Shermer. Tyree Jackson is 6'7", 250 pounds. He's fast as well.
So I don't think there's much difference between Tyree Jackson and Josh Allen.
Oh, man.
Tyree Jackson, like, he's got a massive arm. His accuracy is terrible, but the dude can throw a million miles an hour, and he is big and he is fast. If you're looking for, like, a fantasy sleeper, Tyree Jackson is, like, he's one of those guys. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's one of these guys that I think is going to be a backup somewhere, and the quarterback gets injured for, you know, 2 or 3 games, maybe a concussion, a sprained ankle or something like that, and Tyree Jackson jumps into the lineup and everyone's like, oh, this guy, who cares? And then he goes off for 25 fantasy points and everyone gets really excited. Meanwhile, he's just kind of not very good.
Yeah. Right now, he's not a good passer. There's no way to disguise that. But he definitely has an arm. Like, that dude has a massive arm and he can run. So some teams might find that appealing.
A few other guys that are probably going to get drafted: Easton Stick from North Dakota State, Trace McSorley from Penn State might get drafted. And my personal favorite, I don't know if you've seen this guy from Central Connecticut State, Jacob Dolgala. I mean, he's a small school quarterback, but he's got some talent. Have you seen this kid, 6'6", 235?
I have not watched any of his tape, no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a starter or anything like that, but he's got a big enough arm. He's really raw, but he's somebody that I think could be a project for an NFL team. And I'd much rather take a chance on him than someone like Easton Stick or Kyle Shermer.
Nice. Well, I think a lot of these guys are going to end up going undrafted, just because, like, I think that the NFL, like, people are looking forward to the next few draft classes of quarterbacks. And that's what's really interesting about all this. It's like, if the Dolphins, like, let's say the Dolphins are on the clock and, you know, they get there and Drew Locke is sitting there. They just got Ryan Fitzpatrick for 2 years. And I think that the Dolphins are basically preparing to draft a quarterback next year. And getting Fitzpatrick for 2 years makes tons of sense. You have him play this year, you know, you show your fans that you're really not tanking, but you kind of are. And then they draft their quarterback next year and have him groomed by Fitzpatrick for half the year and then have him come in and start. But what happens if Drew Locke falls to them at 13? What happens if Kyler Murray somehow is falling and they're like, wait a minute, should we trade and move up?
Man, I think they would get destroyed by their fans if they didn't draft Drew Locke if he dropped them at 13.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think they would be right to pass on him.
They need a quarterback, and, you know, sometimes you have to take a chance on quarterbacks, even if you're not, like, necessarily sold on the kid. You kind of have to take a chance otherwise.
Do you think that Drew Locke has Super Bowl upside? I don't.
Like, he has all the arm strength you would ever need or want. The question is, does he have it upstairs?
So does Josh Allen, dude.
Drew Lock is a better passer than Josh Allen. Like, let me be clear about that. Like, he's a better passer, but I think that there's like a ceiling that we're hoping to see out of Drew Lock because he doesn't offer anything on the ground. He's not a guy that's going to rush for 300 yards. Like, he's a guy that you're going to rely on his arm. And, I don't know. I saw him struggle a little bit against Alabama. He took a safety in that game. Just like there were some mental things that he did where it's like he's a really young guy. And I don't want to say that, but he relies on his arm an awful lot. And that can get you into problems. I mean, just ask Jay Cutler what that'll do. So,
you know, I think Drew Lock was also propped up quite a bit by the playmakers on his team. Mizzou has some pretty serious wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few good ones on there for sure. And like I love their tight end.
Yeah, what's that guy's name? He's going to be a first round pick for sure next year.
Alberto is what I call him. I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name.
I was hoping you knew how to pronounce it so I didn't have to try.
No, I wish he had come out this year. Like, he was just like, he would have been my number one tight end in this class. And I know that like a lot of people were like, are like, what, Hockenson and Fant? And we're going to talk about those guys coming up. But Alberto is, he's a monster. But Drew Lock, my question though to you, Bobby, like the reason that I think teams are going to have a real big problem this year, like teams like the Dolphins, teams like the Giants, teams that we know are not competing this year, where their fan base is expecting them to draft a quarterback like a Drew Lock if he falls. But here's the thing. Let's say that you draft him and you put him on the field and he looks bad. Like, he just looks like he's young and you develop. Next year, do you have that same question? It's like, if your team is bad and you're finishing as a top three pick, you just spent a first round pick on him. What do you do here? Then you're like in the Cardinals situation where it's like you have Josh Rosen on your team. You know, there's tons of other holes. Do we take a quarterback or do we try and rebuild and say, okay, maybe it's not all on Josh Rosen. We need to build a better team around him. That's where it gets really tricky, because if you take a quarterback like one of these guys that, you know, we're talking about, as they wouldn't be drafted as high in a good draft class, by taking them in the first round, you're tying yourself to them whether you like it or not.
And how many times have we seen this where everyone says, well, he needs a quarterback, and the Jags go out and get, you know, Blaine Gabbert, or they need a quarterback and, you know, Christian Ponder goes to the Vikings in the first round. Brady Quinn, 22nd overall to the Browns in 2007. There have been so many nightmare scenarios where if you say, we've got a hole, let's just fill it with this mediocre guy and hope that he has some upside. I'm sorry, you're not going to win a Super Bowl that year. You'll be back in 4 years drafting another quarterback, and meanwhile, everyone's getting fired.
Here's a question for you, Bobby. This is a real question, and I'll tell you my answer after you give me yours. You're running the Jags. Would you have rather had, let's pretend you didn't sign Nick Foles yet, would you rather have Nick Foles, Dwayne Haskins, or Drew Lock?
Oh, man. See, well, because it's the Jags, I think they could win now with the right quarterback. I don't think any of those guys are capable of winning right now. So I would rather just go Nick Foles and not be tied to one of these quarterbacks so that we can redo the whole process. I mean, you got to do the rebuild right. And if you don't have a quarterback, you need to be in rebuild. They don't have a quarterback right now. I think if you have Dwayne Haskins, you don't have a franchise quarterback. I think that you have Drew Lock, you definitely don't have a franchise quarterback. So let's go Nick Foles and maybe get a top five pick and take a real quarterback here in a couple years.
Now, me personally, I would take Haskins 100%. Like, I know what Nick Foles is, and
I guess he's got upside. He's got a lot more upside than Nick Foles, but I mean, you know my real answer. I'd wait until the late second and reach for Clayton Thorson and see what we have there. I can't wait to look back in 3 years and be talking about this show where I was super pumped about Clayton Thorson. And then we can point back to two years ago where I was still pumped about Clayton Thorson.
You could definitely do it. but no, I would actually went Haskins, Lock, Foles. Like, I don't believe in Foles.
Either way, you're not winning.
You're not winning right now. And yeah, I think that's where the Jags are right now, unfortunately.
All right, man. That's all for today's show. And next week, we're going to be talking wide receivers and tight ends. So make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any future shows. Tags, this was fun, man. Make sure to watch Kareth White videos.
It was fun. And guys, we want to urge you. We're actually opening back up our phone line. We did some mailbag questions today, and we're going to try and do more. We feel bad that we haven't talked to you guys in a little while about, you know, like, heard you guys through the air. We want to hear you guys talk to us. So if you have a question about this offseason, if you have a question about the draft, hit us up. The number is 209-881-PROS, P-R-O-S. Let us know what your question is, where you're from, your name, all that good stuff, and we'll try and get you on the air.
All right, and thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Pristine Auction. Make sure to sign up for the signed Davante Adams giveaway from Pristine Auction at fantasypros.com/contest. And check out Pristine Auction, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, to see what they have for you. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.